You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Hey, Al, what do you say, man? What's going on?
Jerry, did you get your cavities filled yesterday, or that happens today?
No, I had that done yesterday.
You had it done yesterday. It was your first fillings in many years.
I actually had three cavities. First ones I've had since, I believe, right after I got married.
Were you surprised? Like, why all of a sudden did three pop up? Were you eating Swedish fish?
I always have those once in a while. Not every day.
Those will eat right through your teeth.
Yeah, those are, I would say,
Once a quarter, like four times a year, three times a year,
something like that. I don't eat them often, but okay. I do like them. Probably my favorite candy, actually, but I don't eat it often at all. So I've gotten into this bad habit the last 10 years, I would say, of not going to the dentist every year.
Oh, is that right?
Because I don't have issues with my teeth.
Because you got cocky. You were going there.
Yes.
You were getting no cavities ever.
Correct.
No root canals being done.
Right.
And you were just like, why am I even wasting my time? I have the best teeth ever.
I wouldn't go that far, but I would say that you just don't think of it. So what am I making the appointment for?
Like, why would I go to the penis doctor if my penis doesn't hurt?
You wouldn't.
Exactly.
So I wasn't going, and I hadn't gone in 3 years for a checkup. Now, I hadn't had a cavity, like I said, since around the time I got married. So I'm talking 1999, 2000.
Wow.
I got 20 years without a cavity.
Incredible.
And I was going every year, every other year. But I hadn't gone in 3, maybe even 4 years. So I went, and they looked, and they're like, oh, you got a couple cavities. I'm like, I do? Okay. I'm like, well, what do we do for that? I don't even know. So we scheduled it for yesterday. So I went in, and man, the drill, at first my whole face was numb, my one side. And then, by the time they finished the drilling, I could smell, it was like they were drilling, oh my God.
Like you could smell your teeth cooking. Being drilled. Yeah.
Yes.
And the dust, like a misty.
It was so weird.
Yeah, it's weird that is still how we repair teeth. We take a drill. Could you imagine what dentistry was like, even just say the 1970s?
No,
like
I can't.
Like when I was going to the dentist and getting, like nowadays when I go to the dentist, if I need fillings filled, it's taking out the old fillings from when I was a kid.
Right, sure.
But when I was a kid, I can't imagine what that drill was like.
You don't remember, huh?
I do remember it being painful because my dentist used to say, it's just a pinhole. We don't even need Novocaine.
Oof.
Yeah.
Ouch.
I think I had a very aggressive dentist.
I would say so.
In Clark, New Jersey, I went.
That was your brother-in-law.
No, he's my dentist now. when I was a child, he was not my brother. He was
not
my dentist.
I thought maybe you introduced your sister to him.
No. My mom actually introduced
him. Oh, no kidding.
How about this? My sister and my brother-in-law, he's a dentist. They've been married over 20-something years.
Right.
But he was a dentist at the dental clinic in JFK Hospital when my mother was she ran the office, the dental clinic office. And my sister was engaged.
Wow.
And she used to come in to meet my mom for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, introduce me to your daughter. And she's like, oh, well, she's engaged. But yeah.
You're kidding me.
That's right.
Wow.
My sister was engaged, yeah. She was engaged to a guy that was a very nice guy, but they were complete opposites. That was never going to...
You don't think it would have worked?
No, because he was like a woodsman type.
Okay.
And she's bougie.
Got it. She likes the beach. He likes the forest.
Yeah, like he wanted to go hiking.
Right.
He would wear sweatpants and work boots and
that's
flannel.
Not her.
That is not her.
She was looking for a rich guy. I'm just kidding.
She was
joking.
Looking for a non-like... go in the woods and camp guy.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
I understand.
But I think that that whole meeting was by chance.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Think of how life would have changed.
Yeah.
Had she gotten married to the other guy.
I remember.
Because your life changes too then.
Right. And I remember she had tickets to the Michael Jackson concert. And she had an extra ticket. And she, and then, so he got word of that and he kept telling my mother, I'm a big Michael Jackson fan. Which he, I'm sure he wasn't.
It was she just didn't bring him, did she?
Well, it was all her girlfriends.
Oh, okay.
And then they had an extra ticket. One of the girls dropped out. And he kept bugging, saying he loves Michael Jackson, which I'm sure he doesn't, to schween his way in, which worked.
Time out. So she was engaged. This is fascinating to me.
Yes.
She's engaged. Mm-hmm. She's going to a concert with her girlfriends.
Right.
One of the girlfriends can't go. And she takes this other rando dude.
No, but she didn't take him. There was a group of girls going.
I gotcha.
And they had an extra ticket.
But they gave him the ticket.
Right.
The tickets were all together, meaning they were going to see each other.
I think they all went as a group.
Even him?
I think so.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
Meantime, she's engaged to some other dude.
Yeah, but I guess it was probably.
She wanted it to happen.
On its way out. Yeah.
I guess so. Did she keep the ring?
I can't imagine. I don't think you do that.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the rules are.
Yeah, I think the rules are I don't understand that ever keeping the ring.
Me neither.
But I guess if
you get your ring back?
I gave a ring.
Right. So you get it back.
I did.
Okay.
And then I sold it and gave her the money. Because I was not doing the right thing.
Oh, okay.
I felt like she had put some money out for a wedding in my head. I knew I was never.
Oh my gosh, I got you.
Going to.
You never saw it happening.
I never really saw it happening. And she put out some money.
Got it.
So I gave her the money so she could be even.
Okay.
Even Steven.
That's nice of you.
Thank you.
You still talk to her at all?
Occasionally on like Facebook, just a hello.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Yeah, it was very, very brief.
All right.
She's doing terrific, Jerry, as all women that I date when they move on from
they leave.
They just, they flourish. They're just, their lives flourish, Jerry, after they escape.
They remember what it's like to go out and do things.
Yeah, they like, this life flourishes again, and they meet the man of their dreams.
You know,
afterwards.
It's actually, we never realized we can actually do something on a Thursday night.
I'm like, what, are you kidding me?
It's funny.
So I don't know where I was going with that other than, when I go to the dentist now, who is my brother-in-law, it's just to replace the old fillings.
Yeah.
Because I guess, you know, fillings aren't supposed to be meant to be in your head for, you know, 30 years,
probably
40
not,
years.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, oh, just the drill is like, I don't know what the technology in the drills, how that has changed over the years from the, like,
gotta
let's say,
be better, though.
Let's say if I looked at a dentist drill from the 1976.
Right.
And now I'm looking at a dentist drill in 2021. Does it still hurt as much? Is it still as painful?
I don't know. I didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
But why? The one thing they've got to be able to do with the new technology is not wee wee, not have that noise.
Oh no, that noise is still there.
That's what I'm saying. Like that should be the next advancement.
But I guess
to get rid of the sound.
If you think about it, though, a drill from 19, a regular drill.
Yeah.
It's probably the same thing now.
But you would think that could get thinner and maybe less painful. I don't know.
I mean, but the Novocaine is what really.
Yes, screws you up.
I mean, I didn't feel my face, but I also didn't feel the procedure. Never, right. And nothing hurt. I didn't even need Advil. I brought it with me this morning. I didn't know if I was going to wake up with nothing. They drilled through my tooth. Nothing.
Did your dentist try to talk to you? Be like, Jerry, what happened here? Because you've gone all these years without a cavity.
No. So it's funny because I had one dentist for my entire adult life, basically. He sold the practice. What I did not realize was still involved with the practice. So it was, you know, the doctor's name. And then all of a sudden he sold it to another company and they took it over. And it moved. Brand new facility. My wife started going there to this new doctor. She's great. So she recommended me to go to her doctor. I'm like, oh, I'll go see her. Yeah, I don't even know what her name is. I've seen her twice. I'm not even sure. It's just like my wife's recommendation. And I'm in there the other day, and I see my doctor. I'm like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I would have come to see you. He goes, yeah, no, but people don't realize I still am doing this.
Oh.
But he sold it. His name's off the building. Then it moved. So I thought he retired because he's of that age. He's in his 60s. And he goes, nah, I kind of come in. I do 2 days a week for my clients. I'm like, oh, it was awkward.
Yeah, like he thought you were cheating on him.
Yeah, but I wasn't. I had no idea. And now I'm done. Now I'm with her.
Do they have attractive women who clean your teeth and things like that?
Which is a very weird situation.
Yeah, because they're hanging on you.
Your mouth's wide open.
Right, you don't breathe in their face.
It's kind of gross.
It's very gross.
They take images. They put them up on the screen for you to look at. It's
yeah.
Like, whose teeth are those? Yours. Oh.
Right. How about how deep the teeth go into your jaw?
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yes.
Who knew?
Would you rather have an attractive woman cleaning your teeth or not?
Sure.
Yeah, why not, right?
Why what's the negative of that? I wouldn't want an attractive urologist.
Right.
That I don't need.
That'd be weird.
But as a dental hygienist, why not?
A hygienist, that's the
term. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You want to go for the sloppy one?
No, I would like a well put together.
Yes. You know what I want? I just want a nice person.
Same, Jerry.
That's what, nice and clean.
Nice, clean, health conscious.
That is it.
Skilled.
That's all I want, to be quite honest.
Give me the most skilled.
Yes.
That's what I say.
In every walk of life.
In all walks of life, yes.
Yeah, I agreed.
Back when my mom was working in that dental clinic, it was like the late 80s.
Yeah.
They had a female dentist, and I guess there were not many back then.
Right.
And some people refused to go to her because she was a woman.
Isn't it interesting?
Yeah.
When you look back, you see where we are now. And me and you have discussed the fact, like, when a female has become a coach on a team or something, now we're like, it's not a story.
Right.
Because it's great.
Like, you didn't do a double take when your dentist was a female.
No.
Exactly.
But think about the way, and we really didn't grow up in this era because you were a kid. I wasn't even
right,
born
we just
yet.
Missed this
We
era.
Missed it. But think about, and forget the 1800s and early 1900s. I'm talking the 1940s and 50s, like, how chauvinistic it was. Watch Leave It to Beaver. Like, that's the way it was. June just stayed home and vacuumed all day and made sure the clothes were clean and the beds were made and dinner was ready for Ward when he got home. And Ward would come home and he'd put his shoes down and sit down in his chair and be like, where's my newspaper?
Where's my dinner and newspaper?
That's so weird.
And my Rob Roy drink.
And the fact that some guys wouldn't do something because of the color of someone's skin.
Right.
Or because of the gender of someone. I could not imagine living like that.
And when patients didn't want to go to the female dentist, my mother used to say, don't you think she probably had to work harder and be better at her job?
Yes.
In order to get past
probably.
That. Right.
I would think so, because I'm sure the ones probably passing or failing them were the egotistical, you know, men instructors.
Right.
So that's a good point by your mom.
Jerry, I don't ever see sex or race when I look at people. Everyone is just a human to me.
Everyone is just a human. I'm sure there was a song written about that somewhere.
You're only human. There You're you supposed go. To make mistakes. Here's a story that was sent to me by many alert Twitter followers and podcast listeners, Jerry. And I'll read you the headline first. You'll see why it came my way.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if I...
Might want to wait just a
Let
second.
Me go to the second story first, Jerry. Yeah. There's a study out now that says that two-thirds, Jerry, of romantic couples start out as friends first. So friends before...
Two-thirds?
Two-thirds. That seems like a lot.
That does seem like a lot. Well, I mean...
It said 68%. A study from 1,900 adults of varied ages, 68% reported that their current or most recent romantic relationship began as a friendship. Versus, for example, meeting someone at a party or online.
Well, I was just going to say, like, what does the other one qualify as?
Yeah. Well, I guess they're saying, like, let's say someone was setting you up on a date with someone.
Sure.
Or you met someone out and you found them attractive, you got their number, and you took them out on a date.
And then it happened.
Right. Versus you're friends with somebody.
Yeah.
2 years later, now you're dating.
Yeah, I could see that. Okay. I could see that.
So that makes a little more sense.
Yeah, I would have been the, I would have been, what was it? What was the percentage?
68%.
So I would have been a part of the 32%.
So you and your wife were not friends first, even though you went to high school together.
We were friendly, but we weren't friends.
Okay.
Like we knew of one another.
Right.
We went to the same high school, but with the way the lockers were set up, her last name started with G, mine was with R, so we were on complete opposite sides of the school. She had a different circle of friends that I had. So, yes, our paths would cross at a party once in a while, but we really weren't friends. It wasn't until that summer going into senior year that a few of our friends completely crossed and we started hanging out together. And within a couple of weeks, I would say, of hanging out is when we started
dating.
Did
you pursue her or did she pursue you?
I would say, if I'm being honest, yeah. I would say a little bit of both. I definitely made the first move for sure. But then there was a day she showed up out of the blue at my house because she was in the neighborhood.
Ah, the old in the neighborhood.
And
move.
She was, because she was on a run with a friend of hers and they rerouted.
And the, her and the friend showed up, knocked on the door.
Yes.
And were, what, looking for a water or something? What was the excuse?
Just coming to say hello.
Hmm. And then we knew.
And we hung out on the deck outside for a couple of hours and they left. So, like, that to me was like, all right.
She's into it.
And I remember calling her that night and saying, you want to go out tomorrow?
Perfect.
And then we've been together ever since.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Jerry.
It was in 1991.
Now that the engineer has left the room, I can do my other story. I'll read you the headline, Jerry, and you'll see why many alert people sent this
to me.
Al
faked like he was interested in my relationship.
I'm definitely interested. Illinois man nearly strangles his penis to death with rubber bands.
Why?
Well, this is a man.
There's not a good answer for why.
Yeah, this is a an 81-year-old guy.
Oh, geez.
Suffering from dementia.
Oh, come on.
He binded his genitals with rubber bands until his penis began to rot.
Oh, God, dude.
A urological surgeon at Beacon Hospital in Ireland told the Daily Mail of the case. Strangulation cases like this are thankfully rare. You could cut off blood flow, and that will start to kill the organ, though. How about that, Jerry?
Can you imagine you going to school to be a urologist?
Yeah.
What the pitfalls are of the job? Like, here's what you might encounter.
Right. A person may strangle their penis.
And at the same time, there are things you can't even envision that are going to happen.
Right. That's very complicated down there.
Yes, of course it is. Man.
The doctor continued, an organ like the penis could probably tolerate this for a couple of hours. However, eventually the pressure becomes too great and the arteries become compressed.
You ever strangle your penis?
No. In theory, says the urologist, if you left it on long enough, the penis would fall off.
Oh, no.
But I've never seen that happen.
All right, that's why he said in theory.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's a brutal story. Now I see why you waited for her to leave. God.
In a related story, Jerry, last year, a Ukraine man had to be hospitalized after his wife fastened a chastity nut to his penis to stop him from sleeping around.
Get divorced.
You could do that.
Like, why?
So you're saying,
break up.
You're saying if you need to put a penis chastity nut on, then maybe.
Let me ask you this. You've been in a relationship now for how long?
6 years.
6 years. Okay. If you found out that she was cheating on you and was sleeping with another guy.
Yeah.
She was going to hotels. You know, you think she's going to work and yet she's going to meet him at his home or whatever.
Right.
Would you get physically violent or. I'm sure you hold a grudge. That's fine. Or would you just be like, it's over. So, you know what? You screwed this up, not me.
Right.
It's over.
Yes.
And just walk away?
Yeah, I don't know. People get very enraged.
I understand feeling that way.
Yeah.
But then there's a certain line that you cross, and I guess you're out of your mind. I just, man.
Right.
To do that, all you're going to do is end up in jail, as opposed to just breaking it off and starting over, because, I don't know. That is harsh. But then Lorena Bobbitt, right?
Yeah, Lorena Bobbitt cut off John Wayne Bobbitt's and then threw it out the window.
And then threw it out the window. Did she do jail time?
She did.
She did, yes. I would like to think if you did that, you
yes, would. She did jail time.
Because I could also see like a, you know, like a jury sympathizing.
Right.
You know, saying she was out of her mind because of his actions.
Correct.
So I wasn't sure. I don't remember if she went to jail.
Yeah, I do believe she went to jail.
And what was Amy Fisher's story? I don't remember her.
Amy Fisher was the Long Island Lolita, they called her. She was seeing Joey Buttafuoco.
That's right. Okay.
Who was a married man.
Right.
And she and shot Joey Buttafuoco's wife in the head when she answered the door.
That's right. Good Lord.
Those are some crazy stories, Jerry.
Yeah.
That was all in the... I feel like that was in the same era.
The John Wayne Bobbitt. It was about the same time. Yeah, I would say so. Early 90s.
And the Amy Fisher,
would
yeah.
Would you say late 80s, early 90s?
Yep.
My God.
Joey Buttafuoco.
Where is he these days?
He's still out there.
God. Okay.
He had an auto body shop on Long Island.
Okay.
And she was a customer, but he flirted with her.
Yeesh.
And she claims he told her to shoot his wife. He claims he never said such a thing.
So
and
she
I think they
jail.
Stayed together for a long time.
You're kidding me.
Though husband and wife.
Oh, Mary Jo. Was that
Mary Jo Buttafuoco.
Hmm.
That's some wild stuff,
some
Jerry.
Crazy circumstances in your life.
That's some weird, wild stuff.
Probably every day sitting there saying, why can't we just be a normal family?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
We're normal aside from that one crazy day.
That one crazy day.
It is weird, though, sometimes
everything.
How one crazy day
changes everything.
Change everything.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
You get a little too enraged, yeah. Like O.J. Simpson.
Yes. And your life completely changes on a dime.
Right.
Absolutely. That's why we always say one day here, the next day, who knows?
That's why I say, Jerry, enjoy every day.
Yeah, no kidding.
Live. Live like it's your last.
You really should start taking some of your own advice.
I should?
I would. Just a little bit.
Live,
just a little bit.
Live.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, maybe surprise Gina on a Wednesday night once.
Live.
Call her up. Here's what you do.
Okay.
Here's what you do. On a Wednesday morning around, let's say, 9:30. Or at 10 o'clock, right after the show's over. Hey, hope your day's going well. We have reservations at 6 o'clock at her favorite restaurant.
6 o'clock, Jerry?
6 o'clock at her favorite restaurant. One time. Make it clear. This is not going to be an every week thing. But you know what? We've really gotten along well lately. It's been a good time. I figure let's go do something crazy. Let's go out on a Wednesday night.
At 6.
I just said, let's do something crazy and go out on a Wednesday night.
At 6 o'clock, very late.
Which is not crazy at all. My God, it's what most human beings do, even with our hours.
Quite frankly, Jerry, you sound nuts.
But I would do that. And I bet you, I could be wrong. Does she listen to this podcast?
I'm not sure. Sometimes not.
Because I could be wrong, but there could be some fun for you after it.
All right.
Because her mind will be blown that you're out there at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday night.
Right.
And at her favorite restaurant.
Right. We'll probably
for
think
no
I'm,
particular reason.
I'm up to something. Yeah.
And how about this? Send her flowers.
And, okay.
Yes.
It's a lot.
But that's it. And then you don't do it again for like 6 months.
Okay.
You know how you would make her day?
Right.
Just saying.
So you're saying, Jerry, live.
I am.
Live, damn it.
I am. Go out for dinner at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday.
Grab life by the balls and live.
There you go. This is what I'm telling you.
Here's what else you can do if you really want to live life. Listen to the warm-up show. And we'll be back tomorrow. Is Friday?
Tomorrow's Friday.
Wow. Summer Friday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we'll have Yankee baseball to discuss, along with our usual fun stories for the warm-up show.
The huge.
Jerry, you go relax your teeth that got drilled, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
So...
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Good morning, campers.
Al and Jerry, don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
How do you say we do this? It is a Thursday morning. Sports returns tonight, although there was the NBA last night, but the Yankees are back tonight, so that's a good thing. We've got the Eddie Scazzeri in the control room, and his name across from me, about 15 feet or so, a little bit to my left, His name is Al Chris Dukes. What's up, man?
Good morning, Jerry. I heard a caller to Sal within probably the last half hour.
Yeah.
And the guy just goes like this when he gets on. Sal goes, whoever it is in whatever town. And the guy goes, who's your daddy, remember? So I was like, who's your daddy? What are you talking about?
I don't know. Sal had a tough time with calls this morning.
I guess he was doing the who's your daddy Pedro Martinez thing.
Yeah. Maybe that was a call he did previously and he thought Sal would remember.
Yeah, I get that a lot when I'm screening calls. They'd be like, remember I was the guy who called who's your daddy? No.
No, we don't. Sorry.
We don't remember.
I know. Sal, there was an issue with the calls last night to where people would be talking and then they'd just be gone. And then with that slight little delay, and then Sal trying to figure it out, at one point he almost lost his mind again. And then, this was a weird one, he was in the middle of a good conversation with a guy where the guy got cut off, and it went right to another guy who was on hold going, hello, hey, hello.
Who dis?
Yeah, no, it was a weird, weird night for Sal.
Who is your daddy? That was when Pedro Martinez was, he was dominating the Yankees, and he said to the Yankees that he's their daddy?
The Yankees were his daddy.
Were his daddy. Meaning, correct. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
My daddy.
I guess that they owned him. I don't know.
That's a weird set. I know what he means, like, I'm dominating the Yankees.
No, it was the reverse.
The Yankees were dominating Pedro Martinez?
Yes. Because he said, I'll call them my dad, something like that.
So confusing.
Yeah.
And then there's the podcast called Call Her Daddy. I don't know what the daddy thing is, Jerry.
Well, just call your dad and you'll be fine.
Hi, Dad.
Right.
You are my daddy.
Then where do we go?
I could still call my mom mommy, but
no,
I can't. I can't call my dad daddy.
You're 51. That should have ended when you were like 10.
I can't say that's my mommy.
You can, but let's grow
up.
What
if in like a real conversation, an adult conversation, I go, I called my mommy yesterday, and what she had to say about...
Well, you'd lose me at that. I don't know what else you would say because I would be trying to...
I want to see my mommy, please. Right. Please.
Exactly.
I want to see my mommy. Jerry, another thing that happens all the time, and we get it, it's like nonstop, and I heard some phone calls on the overnight.
All the time, Eddie Murphy?
I'll get it. That is a great song. I'll get it again today. If George were alive.
Well, that's every day. You know why? But you know why?
Why?
Because Hal does nothing.
Yeah, but...
That's why.
What if George were alive? What if he mellowed in age? What if he mellowed out?
And he did. As he got older and was not feeling himself, he did mellow out, though he would still send out the missives, if they call... Is that what they call them? The missives, Eddie, right? The statements with the Yankee
emblem.
Yeah, on the top of the page.
Letterhead.
Be like, this is not acceptable and we won't stand for this. And even though at the end he probably wasn't the one writing it, at least you still felt like there was someone that was at the top that was not going to stand for this. And we've gotten to a point, like, for instance, and I'm not saying what Hal said last week is right. Just because George did a lot of crazy things, they went a long time without winning.
Yes.
But there was a feeling of we're going to do everything and anything we can to win. And, that's fine if you're going to be the opposite. The problem with that is they haven't won now in 12 years.
But if George were alive today, Jerry.
Well, if George were alive today, I would think Aaron Boone probably would have been fired. Brian Cashman would have been fired. Joe Girardi would have been let go before he was. Doesn't mean it was right. Doesn't mean it would have worked. I'm just telling you it would have been different.
But what if he changed? Like, my dad used to be nuts. He's completely mellowed out with age.
I think George would be 85 right now if he was still alive. I think what they're saying is if the young George Steinbrenner was running the team, or
young.
If Hal turned to be like his dad, you would have changes. Listen, I don't think he'd fire Aaron Boone mid-game and then hire him 3 weeks later. But I think people feel like there would be some, let's go, we got to do something and not be so damn stagnant. That's what Yankee fans feel like this team is right now.
If you took over the Yankees and your dad was George Steinbrenner, do you think you would have gone opposite of what he did, or you would have done like...
Somewhere in the middle. Yeah. I would not have been as
hardcore, just start firing everybody.
No, I would not have done that, but I also wouldn't lay back and be like, the baseball people have got this, as you are losing bad, postseason series after bad postseason series. At some point, you've got to change the dynamic.
You wouldn't. Who was the other Steinbrenner? There's
Hank.
Hal. Hank.
He passed away.
Well, there goes that idea.
Yeah. Hank was the one, if I remember correctly, that brokered the A-Rod deal. in the middle of the World Series, or the playoffs, whatever. I believe Hank was the one that did that 10-year deal with A-Rod.
He seemed more like a George Steinbrenner type.
Yes, he was more, you know, we're going to make things happen here.
Things are going to happen here, Jerry.
And then after the A-Rod deal, I think they shushed him.
Now the Yankees get going again tonight against the Red Sox. How is it that we don't know who's starting for the Yankees yet?
They haven't announced it.
They had all week.
I don't know the answer to that. I was actually surprised when I saw on your email.
My show sheet, Jerry, my emailed show sheet.
There was no one there. And I said, all right, fine. I'll go to my MLB.com/schedule, as I always do. And I saw a TBD.
TBD.
So, okay. Then I went to the Yankee website and saw nothing. I said, all right. I guess they have. And now I haven't seen a lot of articles in terms of this series. Why, you know, I read the one article about how you could fix the Yankees, blah. But I haven't seen anyone that says who's starting.
Why wouldn't it be Gerrit Cole?
I would think it would. Well, hold on.
You think it would be?
When did Cole? It should be.
Exactly.
Because Cole didn't pitch on Sunday. Actually, this would be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Well, yeah, it should be.
Well, let's get him out there.
Yeah, I don't know. It should be Gerrit Cole. But then again, it should be Jacob DeGrom tomorrow night in Pittsburgh, and he's not pitching tomorrow night.
Is that right?
It looks like they're going to give him another day or two. Oh, it looks like it's going to be Stroman.
Stroman, right.
I think they're going to go Stroman, Walker, DeGrom this weekend, I think.
Well, they're giving him an extended rest.
That's what it looks. Doesn't mean that is what it's going to be. That's what it looks like.
Maybe that's what the Yankees are doing with Gerrit Cole. Maybe they're giving him extra day off, and they'll throw someone else
Maybe
out
they
there.
Are. You could be right.
Now, the Red Sox are pitching Eduardo Rodriguez. Is he good, Jerry?
He's okay. He's average. Yeah, he's probably, I would say he's right around, I didn't see his numbers. If I had a guess, I would say he's right around, probably a little better than 500, a couple games over.
Okay.
But they're a good team. Like, they are, you look at where they're at and where they were projected to be, and I think the projections would have had these two teams' records reversed. I don't think anybody expected anything out of the Red Sox this year other than like a 500 type season. Well, right now the Yankees are the team that are hovering around 500, and the Red Sox are like, I don't think they're 20 games over, but they're close to it. The Yankees are 8 games out.
What if George were alive today? Then what do you think?
I think I think Aaron Boone would have been fired already, and so would have Brian Cashman.
And who do you bring in?
Someone said. Where did I hear? Was it might have been Chris Moore. I don't remember who it was.
Chris Moore.
Yeah, someone said go, pay the farm to get Theo Epstein.
What's he doing?
I believe he's working for MLB. He left the Cubs, and I think he's working for baseball, but I'm not 100% sure of that. But it was an interesting thought in that you've got a guy who was, in charge of the Red Sox. You see what they did. He goes to the Cubs. You see what they did. I mean, those are two teams that never won.
Right, but that's his legacy now. You come back now and you fail, you look like a failure.
Phil
Jackson.
I disagree. After what he did with two teams that hadn't won in forever, his legacy is cemented. It's not an issue.
When you think of Phil Jackson, do you think of his failure with the Knicks his championships?
No, I still think of him as the head coach of the Lakers. I don't even remotely think about what he did with it. He didn't do anything with the Knicks.
Right.
If he was on the bench as the coach and failed miserably... Yes. Maybe. But because of the position, it was team president. No, I don't, actually.
Plus, we'll think of your failures right away, but then after that kind of fades away, we go right back to your legacy.
Yeah, I mean...
That's how I would do it.
Well, let me ask you this. If you had a guy, if you had a coach that came in, and Bill Parcells came close, if you had a coach that came in and won the Super Bowl with the Jets, and then 3 years later, 4 years later, won the Super Bowl running the Browns, would it matter after that what he did?
No.
Well, that's Theo Epstein.
Legacy fulfilled.
I mean, think about it. The Red Sox hadn't won since 1918, and the Cubs in, I don't even remember, won forever. And he won both places. So I'm giving credit to Chris Moore. I don't know if it was him or not, but I did hear. It's an interesting thought.
So if he comes to the Yankees, Jerry, and they win, the Yankees are used to winning, but they've been down in the dumps of late.
Yeah, they haven't been able to get over the top. They've had a lot of really bad playoff series losses.
I was looking, wanting to do some Yankee Met over-unders with you, Jerry.
Oh, cool.
So when I was looking at some of the stats, I was...
Not great.
Underwhelmed.
Yes. Well, the Yankees have underwhelmed all season, and I know the Mets are in first place, but...
It's underwhelming.
It is underwhelming. Because they're boring. They don't do anything.
I want to be whelmed. I don't need to be overwhelmed, Jerry.
You just want to be whelmed.
I just want to be whelmed. Like, I look at some other team stats, I'm whelmed. Individual stats for some players, overwhelmed.
Yes. So are we going to do over-unders now or after the break?
I want to do it after the break.
Okay.
I don't want to rush through my over-unders. I have a couple Mets over-unders, not a lot.
Okay.
A couple Yankees, not a lot. And then a couple Major League Baseball in particular players.
Okay.
Stars, Jerry.
All right.
Celebrities, top of the food chain type guys, over-unders as well.
Oh, I like this. We're going to play a game.
We'll play over-unders.
Now, this isn't
Mike and Chris thing.
This isn't Boomer and Gio over-under.
No.
But we're talking about tennis players' last name ends in over.
No, no, no. This is actual over-unders, Jerry.
Okay.
Because when I looked at the stats, I was underwhelmed.
Okay. Well, I can understand that. There's a lot of underwhelming stats in baseball, and the Mets have a lot of them, as do the Yankees. I actually enjoyed one of the guys, and I know it's going to be a theme because he's a left-handed power stick, this notion of the Yankees going out and getting Joey Gallo, which makes sense on some levels. But he also strikes out like Dave Kingman used to.
Yeah, I love
Dave Kingman. Why would you want more of that, though?
Because I love Dave Kingman.
Why you do, but you're not getting Dave Kingman out of retirement. He already played for the Yankees, as we found out. He's not available.
It was weird. Like, the Yankees have a bunch of players in their history where you forget that these guys played with the Yankees.
A lot of them.
Yeah, like where they come in for like half a year.
I'll give you one that I heard the other day that I totally forgot about. David Justice.
Right.
His career was with the Braves, and he, like, played with the Yankees. I forget about that.
And he said in my ear, Jose Canseco.
Yeah, oh, sure.
That's a lot of weird guys like
that. Yeah, they had a lot of players at the very, now I wouldn't say at the very end, but at the end, you know, that became Yankees for you, put the pinstripes on.
Yeah.
Once a Yankee, always a Yankee.
All right, Jerry, let's do this then. After the break, over, under, Yankees, Mets, Major League Baseball stars.
Okay, I like it.
And you're a guy who follows MLB Network. You're a guy who's over under picks we could, quote unquote, take to the bank.
Oh, no, we're not taking anything to the bank. I will probably fail at this miserably, but we'll give it a try. Been coaching a lot lately, so I haven't watched as much as normal.
The key, Jerry, is to set the over under at a number that makes you think.
Yes, for sure.
So hopefully I've done that.
And I will try to just whelm you.
I don't need to be overwhelmed.
I'll just try to whelm you.
Just whelm me.
If I go 500, I feel like I will whelm you.
That will be whelming.
Yes. I'm smelling a t-shirt, by the way.
Alan Jerry, whelming.
I was going to say, just whelm a baby.
Just whelm, baby.
Do it in the Raider.
The Raiders.
In the font.
Yeah, silver and black.
That's not a bad shirt.
Just whelm, baby.
Maybe. We'll talk about it. Get Jess on the line. All right, it's 5:15, just getting started. Alan's not going to tell you about his condo because he's finally, he has realized that it is enough about him. So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we will play, it's Alan Jerry's over-under.
Over-under.
Over-under, exactly. And then Boomer and Gio at 6 on the Fan.
You ready?
Showtime. On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Al and Jerry. Keto-friendly and GMO-free.
All right, rocking it back early 80s style, little Men at Work, 5:23 on a Thursday as we are barreling our way towards this four-game Yankee-Red Sox series. It has been, we are chock full of news today. It is going to be awesome. But I'm excited because we've got like a game we're playing now.
Keep this going, Eddie. I picked this on purpose. Ready, Jerry? It goes like this.
And she said,
now it's time for over-under.
That's it?
Over under.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to sing more.
Doing? No, no, no.
You got to come up with some lyrics for that.
Now it's time for over under. You better run. All right, let's do over under, Jerry.
Yeah, yes. By the way, Zach is back, so we can start doing like production for these buzz, no buzz, over under.
Okay. Well, so, when I only think of them right before.
Super Z!
Right before we go on, it probably doesn't give them a lot of leeway.
Probably not, but we can be ready for next time.
All right, Jerry. I did go through some Yankee statistics. I was underwhelmed.
Underwhelmed.
So I'm going to give you some over-unders based on where we are right now at the midway point.
All right, I like this.
So let's do Yankee over-unders first, Jerry. I only have a couple of them. All right. Not going to overwhelm you with these.
Yeah.
Right now, as we sit here on July the 15th, Aaron Judge has 21 home runs,
under.
Jerry. 21. You're taking under 21 home runs?
I
he's
am.
Already got... You know, he has 21.
No, he has 21. I thought he had 19, actually.
He has 20. You were going to take under 21 home runs if he had 19?
Yeah. I thought you were setting the over-under at 21. I thought
no,
he had
no,
19.
No. You would... I'm so confused.
If you were setting... I thought you were setting the over-under. Okay. Does Aaron Judge have over or under 21 home runs? I thought he had 19, so I was going to take the under.
Oh, no, no, no. This isn't a quiz.
Oh, I thought you were asking me questions.
No, no, no. We're doing over-under. I'm giving you the current stats, Jerry, and I'm going to ask you for the rest of the season.
Oh, I see.
Over. This is a true over-under,
Jerry. I thought you were quizzing me.
I wasn't quizzing you. You watch MLB Network.
All right, no, that's fine.
You know way too much about baseball.
All right, so let's go. Okay.
So, Jerry, let's start over.
Over-under.
And scene. Aaron Judge right now has 21 home runs.
Under.
As we sit on July 15th.
Yes.
I'm going to set the over-under. For Aaron Judge, home runs at 37.
I will take over. I thought you were going to set
really?
It at 40. Yeah, I'll take the over.
So you think he's going to have? He's going to have to hit. Let me do the math on this, Jerry. 16
Eight.
Home runs.
Yes.
Throughout the rest of the season.
Sure.
So you're going to take the over. On
I
that.
Think Aaron Judge is capable of hitting 16 home runs in 10 days.
Wow.
Now, he's not going to, but I'm saying
okay.
like he gets on tears like that. So, yes, I would say, if I could make that bet, I would make. If I go to BetMGM, I would make that bet.
So, this is a take it to the bank, Jerry, over under.
Yes.
Aaron Judge will hit over 37 home
barring
runs.
Barring injury.
Well, that's what this all counts.
Well, I can't.
Injury. No, but you're saying,
shoot.
In saying the over, you're predicting he will not be injured enough to not hit the home runs.
I'm going
to
say over. I'm still going to say over.
Jerry, Giancarlo Stanton right now has 15 home runs.
That's terrible.
15 home runs, which is terrible and is
terrible.
Pathetic, as
under.
You were about to say.
Under.
I'm going to set the over-under for Giancarlo Stanton's home run total at 27.
Oh, over. 27?
27.
If Giancarlo Stanton doesn't hit more than 27 home runs, then you know what? Buy out whatever you got to buy out and trade him.
Well,
what good is he?
We're only at 15 right now.
You're only paying him to hit home runs.
I know
that, but it's... oh, God.
Stanton! You can sit on my face!
27 home runs from Giancarlo Stanton, who doesn't even play the field.
Right.
Useless. Useless. There's nothing else. Sit on your own face. 27 home runs.
So if he hits
Holy
under
Jesus.
27, Jerry, what you're saying to him is sit on your own face somehow.
Yeah,
somehow. He's flexible.
Yes.
He probably could do it.
Be bendy and sit on your own face.
Sit on your own
think
face.
Think about what we're saying here for
yes.
a second. And I know it's 15 home runs, and I know where we are in the year. I get it. He's also been injured, too. But
that's
he's
part
making
of it.
20, I think it's $27 million this year. He doesn't play the field.
So that's $1 million a home run, Jerry.
I mean, you got to go for at least mid to high 30s.
You would think, Jerry, but he's only at 15.
27. Over.
All right. Now, I know wins and losses for pitchers, Jerry.
You mean jack squat crap.
Isn't what it used to be.
It's nothing. It really is nothing.
But it's somewhat something because I have an over-under for it. Gerrit Cole right now on July 15th has 9 wins, Jerry. 9
Who's
wins.
Closing games?
Who's closing games?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's not pitching 9 innings every game.
He did the last time out.
He did great.
He might do that the rest of the year.
Not a chance.
We don't know that.
Not a chance will he be allowed to do that.
Gerrit Cole with 9 wins on July 15th. Jerry, I've set the over-under win total for at 15 games.
Okay.
You don't care either way.
What's option C?
There's no C.
Give me.
Here's just an over.
Here's a better over under.
Okay.
ERA. And I say it because of the whole sticky stuff.
Yeah.
And he's been slightly different, although great in Houston. I'd rather an ERA over under because I can't. The wins and losses thing is like.
I have an ERA over under for Jacob DeGrom. I don't have one set, Jerry. The sports book here has not set the over under. They set a win total, even though it may not mean anything. He's got 9 wins right now, halfway.
I mean, how many starts is he going to get?
15
How many games
total.
Have they played?
That's
so
only
far?
6 more wins he needs, Jerry.
Yeah, I understand. I understand that, but
you
it's
follow?
Not. But it's not just what he does.
Right.
That's the problem. So if I look at
The Yankees today, July 15th,
Jerry, 2021,
are sitting today at what's their record? They've played 89 games, so they got 62-11. They've got 73 games left divided by five.
That's
so
almost
going to get
something.
14 starts.
Yeah,
roughly.
I only need 6 wins, Jerry. I only need 6 wins out of 14 starts.
I know that, but you,
he's going to lose some.
But he's going to come out of games 1-1. There's going to be no decisions.
Right.
There's going to be blown chances by the bullpen.
This is what makes this game so difficult, Jerry.
Oh man.
This is what makes over under the game show that's sweeping the nation.
I am going to say under.
Ooh. All
and
right.
I'm going to say he's going to go 5-2 the rest of the way. No, I'll go 5-3 the rest of the way, and I'll have 4 no decisions.
Hmm. That's a rough one, Jerry. That concludes over-under for the Yankees. Let me quickly switch over to the Mets.
I like this. All right, here we go.
The polar bear, Pete Alonso, has 17 home runs as we sit here on July 15th.
Yeah.
I've set the over-under at 32.
All right, so I feel very confident that Pete Alonso is going to play every day. I'm going to say over.
Meanwhile, the other day, he hit 74 home runs. So if you just do the math.
He did that one day.
On one day.
I thought you were going to set the over-under at 1,413.
So the over-under I'm setting at 32 home runs.
I'm going to take the over.
That seems fair.
I'm going to take the over. I'm going to say he's going to end up in the mid-30s.
So you think he's going to hit more home runs than he's hit in the first half?
I do. Yeah, okay. I've been underwhelmed by Alonso so far this season.
Right.
I think he will. He really hasn't had that two-week stretch yet where he inflates the numbers. I think he will at some point here.
So far out of 3 home run hitters, you've taken the over every time.
I have.
You have. Now, let's see where you go on this one. I know he's not a home run hitter. Francisco Lindor, the big Mets free agent signing.
Yes.
Right now, he sits at only 11 home runs.
Yeah.
As we sit here on July 15th, Jerry. I've set the over under at 19 home runs.
All right, so I'm going to take the under on this one.
You're going to take the under?
I am, yes.
You think he's not going to hit 8 more home runs?
No, I do, but I can't go over on everybody.
You don't want to go over
and
on
he's
everybody.
Had the worst season.
Okay.
So I will say under, but I do think his batting average is going
to
come up.
Yeah, that's too complicated for over-under for me. Now, Jerry, let's go to Mets pitcher Jacob DeGrom.
Hi, my name is Jacob DeGrom. Okay.
He's got an ERA right now of 1.08.
Yeah.
1.08. I've set the over-under for his ERA at 1.6.
Oh, under.
Wow.
I would have said the over-under right where it is.
No, because that's...
Does he stay the same? Is he worse? Is he better? Yeah, well, I can tell you this. If he ends up with an ERA in the 2s, he's had a bad second half.
Right.
So
even in the 1.5s?
Well, it means he's not doing quite as well as he was.
Right.
I'm going to say under. I'm going to say he's going to finish the season, and we're going to say 1.4.
All right. Jerry, let's talk about Major League Baseball big-time hitters. I've set 3 over-unders to conclude the over-unders,
okay.
And this all involves home run hitters.
Yeah.
Ohtani has 33 home runs. That's a lot, Jerry.
We're going 75 here with the over-under?
That's a lot. He has 33 home runs right now. I've set the over-under totals, Jerry, at 59.
That's, you know, it's funny. In my head, I thought you were going to go 60.
No, that I'm not.
I'm going to say under.
Really?
I am, yes.
Under 59?
I'm
going to
go under 59, yes. I think the pace is going to slow down. It will be more consistent.
Mm-hmm.
We'll go Ohtani low 50s.
All right.
Which is still a hell of a season.
Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yeah.
He has 28 home runs right now, Jerry. That's less than Ohtani if you're doing the math. I've set the over-under at home runs for Tatis Jr. at 51.
Over.
51 home runs. You're giving him the over.
Over.
I've got a very similar, in fact, exactly the same situation for Vlad Guerrero Jr. He also, like Tatis, has 28 home runs. So I've set his over-under at 51 home runs also.
That's a good one.
Thank you, Jerry. That's a good over-under.
An over-under. I'm going to...
Over-under.
Do I go over on that, too? 28, so he's got to hit 24. Over.
And that concludes Alan Jerry's over-under.
I know. We need some production.
Yeah,
that's not great production. I like your shirt, by the way. AC/DC. I heard an AC/DC song yesterday.
Which one?
It was awful. I don't know.
It was on the radio and it was awful?
Yeah, it was on satellite, yes.
They have a lot of great songs.
Call Me Joanne.
I don't know what that is.
Well, Joey, I'll find it during the break.
And then I'll play it coming out of break, Jerry.
It wasn't good.
So on the other side, here's a tease, a terrible AC/DC song.
Or Back in Black. You don't know.
No.
So you got to stick with us to find out.
Back in Black's too generic. Everyone plays that.
Everybody loves it, though.
We're going to play the bad AC/DC song.
Like I actually play that for the 11-year-olds when they're on the field.
Back in Black, yeah.
And while they really don't like classic rock or rock in general anymore, they like that song, though. Because they know it, because it's in movies and stuff.
When I was in junior high, Back in Black was the devil. Everyone thought that was devil music.
No kidding.
AC/DC had something to do with it. Everybody thought everything with heavy metal had to do with the devil.
You know what's funny is even I heard Judas, I haven't heard the song in a long time, Breaking the Law.
They sing devil music, Jerry.
But you know what's funny about that? I'm driving and I'm listening to it and I'm like, this is heavy metal?
Yeah.
I actually feel like I could listen to that on CBS FM right now.
Yes. Well, it was 80s heavy metal.
Come on. That's not heavy. I mean, it is by theory, but that song is not anything nuts.
Jerry, if it wasn't heavy metal, then why was Rob Halford wearing leather?
A sexual liaison. I don't know. All right, let's take a break.
Leather, full leather outfits.
25 and 26. Boomer and Geo. It is going to be an action-packed show. It's a Thursday, which means we're close to the weekend, and that's kind of cool, and so are you, and we're coming right back on The Fan.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Al and Jerry, fresh and organic and no antibiotics ever.
Now this is the song coming back, the AC/DC song. What did I say it was? Whole lot of
Rosie.
Yeah. This also, I was caught when I first heard this. I thought it was The Offspring. You know the song I'm talking about?
I do, yeah.
Very similar. But we've talked about this. How many different riffs can you have?
Right. There's only a certain number of chords, Jerry.
See, I didn't like it because you can't hear him.
Yeah.
You're not a fan of this song.
I like it musically.
It's okay. But I can't hear him enough. I don't know. I didn't care for it. I'm sure I'll get yelled at by some AC/DC fans.
I feel like if I had a fight in the UFC, I could use this coming into the ring. I'd be all pumped up, ready to...
I like
ready
it for anything.
Throw down with some dudes.
That would be a good over-under.
I
want to
see
song.
My mommy, please.
We could start over-under with that.
Or if I needed to see my mommy at some point, I'd probably play that.
I also didn't realize, I've told you Big Balls is one of my favorite songs of all time. Like, I forget anybody. I just love that. I didn't know they had a song called She's Got Balls.
So they were like, you know what was a popular song by ours? Big Balls. What if we did another Balls song?
Well, they did. I don't know which one came first, but I was looking at the list.
I think Big Balls came first.
So yeah, so then they went with the She's Got Balls. I don't know that song.
I don't know that one either. Must be a deep cut.
It might
like,
be.
Listen, we need one more song to fill this album. We've got no ideas left.
Think they were talking about Rosie?
Rosie. Maybe.
She's got balls.
She's got balls.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
Would you believe, I just find this kind of neat. Like, it's kind of cool that we work with Boomer Esiason. We grew up watching him. Very cool. I've always told you the story about the young kid golfer that I golfed with in Florida. Remember the kid, he turned pro?
Yes.
He's leading the British Open right now.
What is his name?
Sam Horsfield. I don't know why. That
he was a child when you played?
He was. I would say he was 9 or 10 years old, max.
Really?
And I told you the story. I played with me and my brother and my dad were on a golf trip in Orlando, just the three of us. We played in the morning, and then I would always go out for a second round, usually with my father, and my brother would go in for lunch. On this day, my dad played an extra 9 with me. I kept going, so I go to 10, and they paired me up with this kid and his dad come. I'm like, oh, come on. So the dad's like, hey, I hope you don't mind us joining. We just want to play 8 or 9 holes. We live locally. I'm like, oh, fine, whatever. And in my head, I'm like, I'll let the kid play, and then I'll just go off on my own. So I go up, and I hit a tee shot, 250, right down the middle. I'm like, yeah, take that kid. And I noticed the kid's playing on the white tees, not the junior tees. I looked at his dad. I'm like, he doesn't want to move up. He goes, no, he's fine. And he bombs a ball 30, 40 yards past mine. I'm like, what the hell was that? And I remember I struggled to like a 6 on the hole. It was a par 4. He made 3. He beat me, and he played the whole 9 with me. I think I shot like 46, 47, something like that. And if I have the scorecard somewhere, I believe he shot a 4 under 32.
See, now
I got my ass kicked by this kid.
I'm always worried about having a kid because what if the kid becomes a serial killer? But what if my kid becomes a professional golfer?
And can really play.
That would be awesome.
So, yeah, so I came in this morning. And I've always tracked him from time to time. I would just Google search his name. And I came in this morning. I saw the British Open leaderboard. Sam Horsfield, -2.
That's unbelievable.
First place. I'm like, damn.
You should have got a photo with that kid.
I
should
have.
Cool.
I should have. But you know what? This was probably 12, 13, 14 years ago. I don't think I was taking photos on my phone like that.
Right. Yeah, no. That's the bad thing. So many great experiences that... I never had a camera.
Right. Mine started in 2014, all the pictures. I mean, we have pictures, but it's
not
different. No, it's not.
Like, I look at years back, like probably, I'll say when I was 12 years old, there's probably two pictures of me.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And now you've got two pictures from the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah, I'm just out in here snapping selfies, Jerry. Jerry, most of the news today, like the actual fresh sports news, is all like depressing, bad violence.
Yeah, you got Haskins, Sherman, and Bauer. Not good.
So let's go in quickly order. The Bauer, Trevor Bauer leave has just been extended again now to July 27th.
Right, which I think is a week from Tuesday.
So
it's a little less than 2 more weeks, yeah.
Then Dwayne Haskins, who's now on the Steelers, right?
Yeah.
He was injured by his wife in Las Vegas in a hotel earlier this month, but it just came out yesterday. She's accused of punching him in the mouth and knocking out a tooth.
Yeah.
My goodness. I mean, that is a...
You know why they were in Vegas? You know why?
To renew their vows, I saw.
Whoops. Now, they have since... Everything's fine.
He lost a tooth.
Well, it was last month. This week, she or he posted on Instagram that they have renewed their vows and everything's going great. That night, not so great. Now, did you see the details as to why she punched him in the mouth?
I did not.
They were there. They brought friends and family. So they, the celebration, renew vows. Woohoo, we're going to Vegas. Apparently, he and his friends did not wait for her and her friends. They were at a show. They were going out to another show together. Apparently, they didn't wait for the ladies.
So she punched him in the mouth?
So when they got done doing what they were doing, they were looking for their guys took off without them. So that's how the story reads.
Wow.
And when they tracked them down, she punched him in the face.
Punched him in the face hard enough to knock out his tooth.
There's got
to
be more going on there. You don't just punch someone in the face because they left a little early.
And they were there renewing their vows.
And they weren't. And it's not like he left with a woman.
Right.
Or he left with friends and left her alone.
He wasn't at the chicken ranch or whatever it's called.
She was with her friends.
Ranch.
Right. They all left, according to the story. But they're good now.
Oh, all right.
When you
fine.
Had that horrendous experience on the cruise ship.
Yeah.
Did she punch you?
She never punched me in the mouth, no.
She just told you how much she couldn't stand you.
Yeah, and she kept packing her bags every port.
Well, I don't know why I find that story so funny. Because it's years and years and years ago.
Yeah, so many years ago, Jerry. Right. Everyone's moved on.
So we're past the point. That's funny, though.
Yeah, so but I kind of felt like it was for show because she would pack her bag while we were at sea, and then she told me when we got in the port she was leaving.
Did you ever at one point say, so are you going or not?
Yeah, so of course.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah. I was offering to pay for the flights. Oh, it was a disaster.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a blast of a trip.
Sometimes those pictures come up on Google, you know, your Google photos like 16
years ago.
What
year was this?
This had to be 2000 and...
7 or 8, maybe?
6.
So you were uploading photos to the cloud back then?
Not back then, but when I uploaded to the cloud, I took all my pictures.
Oh, I see.
All my digital photos.
Oh, right, because right.
But I'm sure I had cartridges. I'm sure I had it on a digital camera.
Think about how
phone.
Much money you spent that week.
Right.
For a trip to basically be yelled at all week and threatened for the breakup and that she's going to leave you on an island.
It started out so nicely, too, like the first photos, you know, when you're first getting on the
ship.
How
could it not? You're starting on a Caribbean cruise. If it starts badly, don't even go.
Yeah, and then it just did.
How
it took
quickly?
It took a turn.
When?
I don't know. I don't remember. It's so long ago.
Did you at least get a day or two out of it?
Of pleasantries? Yeah, yes. Probably.
Yes.
Probably the first day was nice.
Middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
You bastard.
And it turned ugly.
Man, that sucks.
The other big story today, though, Jerry, is that Richard Sherman had a bit of a day for himself yesterday.
Sounds like he had a breakdown is what it sounds like.
It does
like.
Sound like he had a breakdown. And they say he was also drinking.
a lot, according to one story. Yeah.
So he, Richard Sherman, was booked and is being investigated for burglary, domestic violence, which is a felony charge. Then he was also connected to an earlier hit and run that day, where he hit another car and then
it was in a construction zone, I believe.
Yeah, and then took off.
Yeah, no one was hurt, but the construction workers are the ones that called the cops because whatever happened happened in the construction zone, and then everything the way that story reads. Like, he didn't, you know, because you hear domestic violence. He did not attack his wife or anything like that. It was, he was belligerent and yelling and screaming at the front door of his wife's parents' house.
And he was, they said, trying to get into the house.
Yes, and was also, according to her 911 call, I think it was her 911 call, threatening to kill himself.
Yes.
So he wasn't, again, I don't want to make it sound like he was, you know, going after her and the kid. It was nothing like that. It was more, he was out of his mind. And in a bad state.
I guess it says he was eventually apprehended with the help of a canine dog.
Yeah, because he, so supposedly he was very cooperative, but then when they informed him they were putting him under arrest, he turned his back on the cops and started taking off.
Is that right?
And so they let the canine
chase them down.
Yes.
Does the canine just grab you and tackle you?
I've never seen that.
Yeah. Well, I've seen it in the police videos where they're the training videos, but the person training the dog has that big puffy thing on their arm so that the dog doesn't hurt them.
Mm.
But if you're just running and the dog, it's got to grab you by something.
Well, it must have grabbed him by the leg because he ended up in the hospital for last night. Not serious, according to the police, but a couple lacerations on the leg.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what they do. I don't know. Maybe they scratch and claw. But I don't know.
He had two incidents in one day.
Yeah.
Then there was another person involved taking a lot of heat, the 911 operator.
Yeah, because she had no patience, and she wasn't very...
It was a woman. I didn't even realize. I didn't.
Yeah, and she wasn't very comforting.
She wasn't very comforting. No. I was looking at some of the quotes from the 911 operator.
We'll play them this morning.
We got them.
Yeah, we have them.
So you know it is a woman.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a rough job, the 911 operator.
You would know.
I would be terrible at it.
Yes.
I'm good at calling 911.
Right, but you've dealt with 911.
I've dealt with 911 operators.
How many times?
And you're watching this happen?
I am.
Over under. How many times Al's called 911? I'll set the over under at 4.5.
That's a good question. I know I called the 911 for the dog. I've called 911 twice for fires I saw on Route 78
on my
way. That's
3 already.
I called 911 because someone was roaming around my parking lot
in
Baskin Ridge.
We're very close to the over-under. We'll give you the answer.
No, and then I called 911 on three teenagers walking around a parking lot.
It's over. 5 times Al's called 911. Most will never call it in our lives. 5 times.
All right. I have them on the way.
Okay.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Okay. And then when we come back, we'll get you to Boomer and Geo at the top of the hour. Right now, Amy Lawrence on an Odyssey Sports Minute on a Giannis.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
Bucks win, Yankees, Red Sox tonight. You got 10 seconds to go.
I see Bum Phillips is going into the Ring of Honor, Jerry, but for the Titans, not the Oilers. We need the Oilers back in the NFL. We need coaches
wearing... Yeah, but the Astrodome is gone.
We need coaches wearing cowboy hats.
I like the coaches wearing suits.
And suits,
I do
fedoras.
Like that. I miss that.
Something.
We are New York sports. The Fan. WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
An Odyssey station.